Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for who you are, for what you are, for how you are, especially towards us. Lord, you are good. You're gracious. You're merciful. Lord, you are so deeply involved in our lives, and sometimes we don't even realize it. Lord, may you help us this morning to hear from you. Lord, may you give us the ears to hear, the hearts that are open and ready to receive. And then, Lord, after we hear, may you give us the wisdom and the strength to apply what we hear. Be glorified here this morning, Lord, now as we open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of today's teaching is Making Good Decisions. Now, we've all made good decisions. We've also made bad decisions, right? Anybody here who hasn't made a bad decision in their life? Okay, back off, you know, watch out. The lightning is going to happen any minute now for Margie. Now, she's a wiseacre. You got to watch out for her. But, you know, there's some people that say the way that you learn to make good decisions is by making bad decisions, right? And certainly there's some truth to that, that we learn from our mistakes, I hope. I hope we're learning from our mistakes. But, you know, there are really some things that we can learn. I believe that God will teach us some things today, if we're open, to help us where we don't have to make as many bad mistakes. That we can apply some of these things, and hopefully we'll learn how to apply God's Word in making good decisions for our lives. And the fact of the matter is, in today's study, we're going to see both some good decisions, and we're going to see a bad decision. And I think, really, the pastors that I've talked to, and I know in my life, one of the questions that I get asked a lot from serious Christians, those that I want God's will in my life, I want to know what He wants. I think the number one question is, how do I tell God's will in this situation or that situation? How do I know what God wants me to do over here or over there in those specific things that come up in our lives? How can we know what God's will is in those situations? And I think today we might find a way to help us in determining God's will in each of the situations. So your Bible's open to Genesis 13. Let's read verse 1. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Now, before we go any further, that's kind of a confusing verse right there, isn't it? He went up south. And you look at it and go, huh? What's he mean by that? If you look at your Bibles, most of them have the word south capitalized. In other words, it's a proper name. Some of your Bibles use the Hebrew word Negev or Negeb there. It really is speaking of the south country. Some of the Bibles actually word it that way, the south country of Judah. The Negev or Negev, that is the southern area of Judah there. So he did go up north from Egypt, but he went into the south part of the land of Judea. Okay, so we got that settled now. But remember last week, we saw that Abram had actually went without consulting the Lord, without praying, without seeking the Lord. He went down to Egypt because there was a famine in the land of what we know as Israel, where he was at. There was the famine, so he went down there without consulting the Lord. So the first thing we see here, the first step in making right decisions, is that Abram repented, that he went back to where he was supposed to be. He got out of the place where he wasn't supposed to be. And folks, I think that is the number one thing. If we want to know God's will for our lives in any given situation, the number one thing is that we need to repent from any sin that we know about in our lives. Anything that is going on inside of us, if we're aware that we're doing something that does not please God, I think that's number one, is that we have to repent from any kind of known sin in my life, in your life. That if you want to know, that's the place. Because we can pray for guidance all we want. Oh, God, show me where you want me to go. Show me what you want me to do. But if we're in rebellion, and that's what sin is, when we stay in sin, I mean, it's one thing to stumble. It's one thing to step in a pothole every now and then, right? It's one thing to trip over something and sin in that way, but then you get it right, you repent right away. But if you have decided to stay in a sin, you're digging your heels in, no, I want to do this, well, you can pray all you want. But see, you're not going in the same direction as the Lord at that point. And God isn't obligated to answer you as you're praying, oh, show me where you want me to go, if you're not willing to take the first step. We looked at this before in Psalm 66:18. The psalmist says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. See, if I'm saying, no, I want this sin, well, God's not obligated to listen to us. And think of it this way. Our lives are a walk with the Lord. The Bible calls it that. That it's a walk. We're walking with Him daily. That's how we're supposed to be living. And if you want to end up at the right destination, you have to start on the right path, right? A lot of the gals in the women's ministry yesterday went and did a hike. And, I mean, think of it this way. If there was a gal that said, well, I want to go hike with you. We'll have a good time together and all that stuff. But I don't want to start at that trailhead. I want to go start over here or across the highway. I'm going to go in this other direction. She's not going to meet up with the rest of the gals, right? Because she's going in a different direction. And if God is already leading in this particular direction, He says, no, this is sin, get rid of that, and you won't, you're in the wrong direction. You're going in the wrong direction at that point. So that's number one, is we have to be willing to repent of anything that we know is wrong in our lives. Verse 2, it says, Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Now, something we can learn from that, probably the second point, is that even though he was rich, even though he had stuff, he wasn't trusting in that stuff, and he wasn't settling for, okay, I've got this stuff, and I'm good enough here. See, he didn't tell the Lord, Lord, you know, I've got plenty of stuff. You've already blessed me a bunch. I'm just going to stay where I'm at. I'm going to do my own thing. I've got plenty. I don't need what you have for me. See, he wanted all that God had for him. He wanted to be right there with the Lord. He wanted that close relationship. So he didn't trust in his riches. He didn't let his riches get in his way. And a lot of people do that. We have to guard against that. We have to guard against whatever junk we have and, you know, whatever cars, houses, whatever. A friend of mine and I were talking one time about how sometimes, in fact, you know, we have gotten wrapped up in, you know, our cars and motorcycles and stuff like that. And he said something that was pretty profound. He says, you know, it's all junk that just ain't made it to the junkyard yet. You know, if you've ever been to the junkyard, I remember one time after he had said that, I had to go to the junkyard to get some. And I went and looked at all that stuff. I said, you know, at one time, people were working themselves to death to own that piece of junk right there. And they were out there polishing that piece of junk over there at one time, you know. They were spending hours and hours pursuing this junk that's just rotting away now in the junkyard. We've got to keep an eternal perspective, you know. Don't let what you have get in the way of your relationship with the Lord. Verse 3 says, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. So he comes back to where his tent was at the beginning. And that's point number 3 in making good decisions, is sometimes we have to start all over, don't we? There are those times if you have wandered so far and for so long from the Lord, you may need to start over. You know, the foundations class that Terry's teaching on the second and fourth Sundays in the afternoon, that is a good place to start over. You know, if like I said, it's one thing if you say, and we all stumble, we all mess up, we all sin from time to time. And we need to keep those short accounts with God. But if you wandered away for a long time and you know, you've been far from the Lord for a long time, it's probably a good idea to start over. Because maybe that wandering was because your foundation wasn't right. Maybe there's some things that you missed when you first started walking with the Lord. So maybe it's a good thing to start over at that point. Now, verse 4, he says that he went at between Bethel and Ai to the place of the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. So he got back to that place where he had made the altar, the place where he met with God. That's what an altar was at that time. It was where he met with the Lord. And I think that's the fourth point, is that we need to get back to that place where we meet with God all the time. Sometimes it's a physical location. Sometimes there are those places where, well, gosh, I remember when the Lord and I were, you know, in communion so close. And, you know, every evening I'd go back on my porch and sit out there on the swing, you know, and meet with the Lord, just pray with him. You know, sometimes it is a physical thing. Sometimes that helps people. But really, I believe it's more of a position of the heart, a place of the heart, that we need to get our hearts to that place where we can meet with the Lord every day, where we desire to meet with him, where we desire that we put him and his relationship with us as the most important thing in our lives, that we don't let anything else take the place of him. We don't put anything else on that altar, that we're not pursuing some kind of, whether it's a career or hobby or whatever, that we're not focusing on something else. And instead, we're focusing on the Lord. In Jude, verse 21, he says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Now, a lot of times people have a problem with that verse, but it's talking about what we're talking about right here. See, the psalmist said, you know, David said, you know, even if I make my bed in hell, you're there. You know, no matter where I go, God, you're there. But here Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. The deal is, we can allow ourselves to wander away from the Lord and get to the place in our hearts, in our lives, to where we no longer experience his love. You think about the prodigal son. The prodigal son never ceased being a son of the father, but he left the Ponderosa. He left the ranch. And he was living a life that was really something that was 180 degrees different from what he was living while he was there with dad. See, he was no longer able to experience the father's love because he was out there doing his own thing. He was out there living a sinful life, and he wasn't able to experience it. What God wants us to do is to keep ourselves in that place, our relationship with the Lord, to where we're always able to experience his love. That we're not allowing sin to rule our lives. That we're seeking him. That we're not allowing anything in our lives to be above that relationship that we have with him. That's what he wants us to do. To keep ourselves in that place where we can experience his fellowship, his love, his guidance and direction. That we keep ourselves meeting with God daily. And something else here that we see, which is number five, is that he called on the name of the Lord. You see that? See, he's seeking God. He took care of all of those other things that we just talked about, all those necessary things to get him to this place where he could call on the name of the Lord. And that's what we need to do. We need to call on the name of the Lord. If we want his direction, then we need to go to him and ask. You know, Jesus said, "Seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open." In Romans 10:12, we're told, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him." Do you understand that? God wants to be rich towards you. It doesn't say he's going to make you rich. That's not what it's talking about. It's like what the NIV words it as. He richly blesses to all who call on him. He richly blesses all who call on him. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to call on him, to seek him, to cry out to him, and then he wants to bless us by answering the prayers. Now, there's still one problem that Abram has. Lot is still with him, his nephew. Remember in Genesis 12:1, remember we read that, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you." Now, Abram called on the name of the Lord here, and now we're going to see the Lord answer his prayer. He's going to get this problem taken care of. There's still this one area that he hadn't tightened up in yet. Verses 5 through 7 says, "Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together. For their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. Folks, whenever we're out of God's will, whenever we're allowing something in our lives, no matter how small it is, whenever we're out of His will, there are going to be problems. There are going to be some kind of problems. And here, if Abram would have been obedient and left the land, left his father's house, and it was just him and his wife and that, there would be no strife within his family right now, would there? And I really believe, and I believe this is true, that here, this strife that is happening, God has allowed it to happen. He's actually stirred these people up so that there would be this problem with the purpose of separating Abram and Lot, getting back to what he wanted Abram to do in the first place that we just read about. You know, and understand this. And you'll probably, if you think back on it a little bit, you'll probably be able to say, yeah, that's true. God gives us a free will, doesn't He? A lot of times we don't really operate that free will. We don't exercise that free will perfectly, do we? A lot of times we'll make some really bad decisions and that. But you know, if you really love the Lord and you really are trying to walk with Him, but there's something that you're not aware of that you're doing that maybe you kind of sort of know, but you're not sure that, you know, I don't know if this is the right direction. If we're going in the wrong direction and we keep praying and we're seeking the Lord like Abram just did, he called on the name of the Lord, God won't force us to go the right direction. He won't force us to do what is right, but a lot of times He will change our circumstances in order that we will change our minds. You ever notice that? You know, you get stubbornly go, I'm going to go this way, kind of thing. And God says, no, it's not the direction I want you to go in. And He starts changing things. He starts adjusting things. And pretty soon you're going, I don't want to go that way anymore. I don't want to go that way. I don't want to go over that way, Lord. That's how I want to go. And like, all right, Lord, okay, you know. Yeah, I'm glad you're hearing me now. Let's go that way. And that's what I believe is happening here. And you might think of this as point number six in really knowing God's will or making good decisions, is that once you pray, once you ask the Lord, show me Your will, show me which way You want me to go, show me what You want me to do, we need to be open and ready to see how God might answer that prayer, even if it's not something you're looking for. You need to be open and say, okay, I prayed, let's see what God does. And it might just be something different than what you're thinking about, but be ready for that. Now, verse 8, it says, so Abram said to Lot, please, let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Folks, isn't that the heart of God? That there would be no strife? That whether it was like we saw last week in the family, God has an order within the family or in any area of our lives, even within the church. God doesn't want there to be division. He doesn't want there to be strife. Strife is another word for arguing or quarreling, disagreements, arguments, that kind of stuff. He doesn't want that. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 23 through 25, he tells us, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. See, we're to stay away from those foolish and ignorant disputes, as he calls them. You ever had a friend, and I kind of using that word loosely right now, but have you ever known somebody who they want to hang out with you, they want to talk with you, but it seems like the only thing they want to do when they're with you is to argue? There's something that they know that you and him disagree with, and so every time you're around them, they bring that up. Well, this is what he's talking about here. He's like, don't do that. Don't do that. You should be instead, like Ephesians 4:3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Jesus said in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. See, Abram, knowing God's heart, he sought a fitting solution to this problem. One that would be in obedience with God's heart, with God's will, with what He's already made known. And And that kind of brings us to point number seven, is that make sure your possible solutions, the possible answers to your problem, line up with what you already know is the will of God. Make sure that whatever decision you're making and whatever answer that you think, well, maybe this is God's will, maybe I should go that direction, make sure that that fits what you already know to be right in the Word of God. You know, if you're struggling financially, you know, Lord, what should I do? What should I do? I need to pay these bills. And the thought comes in your head, go rob a bank, you know. Now, yeah, you laugh because you get my point, right? You know that's not God speaking to you. You know that's not God's will, because the Bible says, thou shalt not steal, right? You know, so we know that's not from the Lord. That's not a decision. That's not the solution to my problem. There might be some other things that would be fitting, but we want to make sure that whatever we're deciding is according to what we know of God's Word. And if you're not sure, then get godly counsel. The Bible says there's safety in a multitude of counselors. But make sure it's godly counsel, because Psalms 1:1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Okay? Make sure that you get godly, biblical counsel. But if whatever decision you think that, oh yeah, I think maybe I should go this way, if it does not fit what you know about God's Word, then it's not the right answer. It's automatically ruled out. Now, verse 9, Abram continues on and says, is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. Now, he comes up with this solution. We need to separate. Now, separation isn't always the right choice. In this case, it is. But it depends upon the circumstances. It depends upon what God has said specifically in His Word about your specific situation. Here, it would be obedient to God on two different levels. It would be leaving his family like God told him to do, but it would also be stopping the fighting, stopping that strife. It would accomplish both of those things. But what if there's strife in your marriage? What if, you know, you and hubby or you and your wife, wifey poo, are arguing all the time? What if there's strife there? Well, you might want to get last week's teaching if you weren't here. But the deal is that separation, that divorce is not the right answer. Because God hates divorce. See, that's something we know from God's Word. He permits it in very few situations. He permits it. That that's never the best situation. And the thing is that there's plenty of answers and plenty of directions to take in following God's Word and making a marriage that is not right, making it right. And if you don't know those answers, you know, then you need to get some godly counsel so that you can understand what God has to say that addresses the problems in marriage and then how to apply those to your specific marriage. But there are answers. God has a lot to say in His Word about how to fix a marriage that is faltering. But how about if it's at work, you know, that there's strife at work? You know, is it that God wants you to quit your job, separate? Is that the answer? Probably not, you know, especially in this economy. But there's some things you got to answer, you know. Where is the strife coming from? Is it coming from you? You know, are you the problem? Is it something that, okay, you know, the deal is that, you know, I'm always getting hassled because I'm not doing the job good enough. Well, the Bible says, whatever you do, do it heartily. Or another translation says, with all your might, as unto the Lord. Are you doing your job as unto the Lord? You may be working in what we would refer to as a, quote, secular job. You're not working for the church or for a parachurch organization. You're not working in a ministry. But that doesn't matter. Whatever job you're doing, are you doing it as unto the Lord? Are you saying, Lord, here I go today, and I'm doing this job. I'm doing it for you. I'm gonna do what I do like you're right here, and like I'm doing it for you. And I'm gonna be a good example for you. See, that's one of those things that we need to examine ourselves in and see, am I doing what is right? You know, are you submitting to your boss? Well, there has to be things that are wrong. You sure? Is your boss really asking you to do something that is against God's word, black and white? Is it really sin? Or is it just a thing where, you know, you don't want to do that? I've done a lot of jobs that I did not like. I'm doing a job right now that I love. But I've done jobs before that I hated doing, but I knew that, well, God has me here, and I need to do it with all my might to the Lord. I need to be a good example and all that stuff. And so ask those kind of things. You know, how about a dating relationship? You know, are you striving? Are you arguing? Are there tensions within a dating relationship? Well, then what's the Bible say about that? You know, could it be to split up? Maybe. You know, the first question I'd say is, are you both believers? Are you both born again Christians? Because if one of you is and one of you isn't, then you're going to have problems. You're disobeying God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says that we're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why are you pursuing a relationship that you already know is against God's will? And I know some of you don't like hearing that, but I talk to so many people that they end up getting married to somebody that they shouldn't because they're not a believer, and then they're in all this turmoil and strife during the marriage, and you look back and you talk to them, well, yeah, I knew I shouldn't have been dating this person, but I fell in love with him. I fell in love with her. And so I just couldn't, I just had to get married. No, you don't. You know, we got to make sure that we're obeying God in every step of the way. And are you seeking God's will in your own personal life and within the relationship? Are you really wanting God's will to be done there? Or how about strife within the church? You know, I'll just leave kind of thing. And that's usually the course that a lot of people take. But my question always is, have you followed God's word on reconciliation, on really fixing the problem? Because again, wherever you go, there you are. And there have been folks that have come through here, and I say they've come through here because I remember we've been to every church on the mountain. And when they're saying that, I just know, well, it ain't going to be long. You'd be gone from here too. You know, because really, if you are in a habit of not doing things in a biblical way, then you're never going to be in a situation where you can last very long, because you're going to get sinned against, or you're going to get sinned against somebody else, right? I mean, we've all had our toes stepped on before, right? Everybody, yeah. Somebody has stepped on your toes. Well, understand, you've probably stepped on other people's toes. That happens. But love covers a multitude of sins, and the Bible gives us the direction. Jesus in Matthew 18, he gave us a direction. Is that here's how you deal with the problems. When somebody sins against you, you go to that person yourself, by yourself. You go to that person, you try and make it right. They don't hear you, take a witness with you. And if they don't, then tell it to the church. But we don't do that. Instead, we harbor bitterness and grudges and all that kind of stuff. I'm leaving, man. I'm out of here. But again, where you go, there you are. You're just bringing those problems to another church. We need to follow God's will here, you know. Are you submitting to the leadership of the church? Right? You know, is it a thing where, you know, you're just kind of being self-willed, want to do your own thing? God's word speaks to all that kind of stuff. We got to make sure that we're doing that. See, in Abram's case here, he had God's word on the subject. Get out of there. Get out of where you're living. Get out of your family. Get all that stuff. I want you, just you and your wife, man, go, kind of thing. And at this point, Abram's doing that. And actually, he's really completely trusting in the Lord. He's just leaving it to Lot, you know. Okay, I'm going to get out, Lord. I'm going to give him the options. And he's trusting that God would really bless him in whatever land Lot didn't want. There's a proverb, in Proverbs 21:1, it says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes." See, God is able to just like we talked about earlier in our lives, you know, change those circumstances where it changes our minds. God's able to do that with the people that make decisions over you, or the people that you might have to answer to and all that. God is able to make their heart change. change their heart and make their mind up in a different direction. Do you believe that? Because a lot of folks don't act like that. But God's able to do that. And we need to trust God for that. Lord, you're in control. All right? I'll let Lot, you know, make the decision. And Lord, I'll just take it that that's from you. And whatever way he goes, I'll go the other direction. Now, Lot, he was a righteous man. We'll read that in a minute. But he uses the wrong criteria. This is a bad decision that Lot is making. Verses 10 through 13. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Now, Peter tells us in 2 Peter 2, verse 8, speaking of Lot, that that righteous man, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. See, he was walking by sight. He made a decision based on what he saw. He didn't seek the Lord. He didn't really pray. You don't ever see Lot building an altar. He just saw, oh yeah, that's good stuff there, man. That's a great land. Look at all that water. Look at all the grass. That'll feed my herds and flocks. Oh yeah. He went by sight. But he didn't consider the most important things. He didn't consider the influence that that wickedness would be on himself and on his family. And we'll see the outcome of that in a week or so. But we need to consider these things, folks. When we're making decisions about careers, about specific jobs, about what city we're going to live in, about what neighborhood we're going to go into, what schools you're going to put your kids into, we need to understand that there may be several different options, and none of them might be sin, but whatever decision you make, is it going to help you in your walk with the Lord? Is it going to help your family in their walk with the Lord? Is it going to make it easier to serve the Lord? Easier to be a godly family? Easier to be in His will? Or is it going to be a struggle? So number 8 is, we need to base our decisions on what really matters to the Lord. Not be just having the priority as chasing the buck. Oh yeah, yeah, man, over there, the well-watered plains, man, I could be even richer than I am, man. If my flocks and herds will go great. In fact, there's resources in those big cities, man, that don't have out in the wilderness. Yeah, man, I'll make a killing here. This would be great. But those of you who know the story know that it didn't work out too well. That area had a tremendously horrible effect on Lot's family and even on himself. Verses 14 through 17, it says, "And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, 'Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you.'" So the result here of Abram's obedience and his obediently seeking the Lord is that the Lord blessed him. Notice nowhere have we read that Abram was seeking the blessing. He was seeking stuff. That's not it. He was seeking the Lord. He wanted to be right with the Lord. He wanted to be close to the Lord. And because of that, the Lord blessed him. Just like, remember Solomon, when he came into power, he prayed that God would give him wisdom. And the Lord answered and told him, because you haven't prayed for riches and power and all that other kind of stuff, because you prayed for wisdom, I'm going to give all of it to you. I'm going to bless you. And that's what's happening here. It's so important, folks, that we seek the Lord. We seek to be close to Him. Because if we seek to be close to Him and we're applying His word to our lives day to day, then we're going to be blessed. It's kind of a two-sided coin. There's the spiritual aspect of it that when we obey the Lord, then He wants to bless us. And there's that spiritual aspect where He blesses us because of our obedience. But there's also the natural kind of cause and effect. God gives us His Word because He's the one that designed this whole planet. He designed us. He knows what works and what doesn't. So He says, do this. This is good. And just like kind of in a natural cause and effect thing, if we do the right things, then usually the right things will follow. There'll be blessings from that. And finally, point number 9 is like, just like so many things in life, follow through is important. We need to continue drawing close to the Lord. Once we've made the decision, once we have decided, okay, this is what God wants, we need to continue drawing closer to the Lord. Look at verse 18. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. See, he built another altar. He continued his walk of worship. He was ready for the next decision because he was continuing to worship. No matter where he went, he made sure there's an altar there. I'm going to build an altar, man, because I want to interact with God. I want to seek Him. I want to meet with Him. So let's recap real quick. Need to repent. Need to trust God, not in our stuff. And if needed, we need to start over. We need to get back to meeting with the Lord. We need to call out to Him to pray. And after praying, we need to be open and ready for the answer from Him, even if it isn't what we were praying for. But we need to make sure that whatever that possible solution is to our problem, whatever the possible answer is, that it lines up with the Word of God. And we need to base our decisions on what really matters to God and then continue getting closer to the Lord. And you know, as I was kind of finishing this study up the other day and I was praying over it, I was going to end it a different way. But then the Lord just put this verse in my mind, which really sums up this whole thing, sums up everything that we're talking about here. It was actually the first verse that I ever memorized. And that's Matthew 6:33. Jesus said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Doesn't that sum up everything? If we're putting God first, if we're seeking Him first, well, all these things will be added to us. All the things that we need, God knows. And He will make sure that we're taken care of. But we got to put Him first, right? Let's commit to doing that, huh? Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank You. Lord, we thank You for the direction that we find in Your Word. Lord, we thank You that You know what we have need of before we ask. And Father, I pray that You, Lord, that You will have moved hearts today. Lord, that those that have really been contemplating decisions and being in Your will, Father, that You have answered their questions today. Lord, I pray that You would help all of us to take these things to heart, apply them to our lives, that we would be making good decisions, decisions that are pleasing to You. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.